Thank you for your word.
I thank you that your word is life to those who find it, and it is health and healing to our flesh. Father, as we open your word today, I call life to come. I thank you that health and healing will manifest in our flesh this morning. We give you praise and glory for it, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, hallelujah. Let's get into it. If you'll go to Genesis chapter 42, we're going to talk about doggone it. We're going to talk about restoration again. I was going to, but the Lord said, no, I don't want you to stop. So we're not going to. Oh, yeah, we're going to get things squared away with the devil. He's going to learn. But, you know, our God wants to restore unto us. So let's read that definition again of what restore means. It means to give back something stolen or lost, to bring back to a former or normal condition, as by repairing, rebuilding, or altering. To put a person back in place, position, or rank. Now that sounds like complete and total restoration. Amen. Complete and total restoration. So we talked a little bit about different areas of restoration, didn't we? We talked about financial restoration, that he would bring us back into that former place, amen. Position, how about? Rank, that he would repair, restore our health. So restore our finances, restore our health, restore our family, restore our children to us. Let's see, restore what has been stolen. Hallelujah. So I asked people to go back last week. I don't know if you did or not, but make a list of the things that you want restored. You see, you want to. God will restore what you want restored. He's not just going to restore, okay, I'm going to give you everything. No, we got to put our what out for it. We got to put our faith out if we want something to be restored. We have to know that our God will restore our health. We have to know that our God will restore our finances. But then we have to use our faith to get it restored. Amen. You know, just because there's a need doesn't mean God moves. He's moved by what?
Faith.
Man, I'm in the right place. He is moved by faith. So in Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 40, or Genesis chapter 42, I'm sorry. Look at verse 25. It says, then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's what? Money. To do what? To restore every man's money. What's that mean? Give it back. Give it back. Put it back into the place that it used to be. That it used to be. Put it back. If it was stolen, give it back. To restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. So God does restore, but then he also provides. Amen. So he will restore and he will provide what you're called to do. Amen. Thus he did for them. Verse 28. So he said to his brothers, my money has been what? Restored. So in we just see that God does it and he does it quickly. He restored it. He restored that money. He said to his brothers, my money has been restored. And their what? Their heart failed. They failed. Their hearts failed them because they were what? Covetous? Jealous? Hateful? Bitter? Spiteful? They were afraid. They were afraid. Let's read that again. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored. And there it is in my sack. He even said, look. They didn't like that, I'm sure. There it is, see, in my sack. Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Not what has God done for him, but what has God done to us? See, they considered this to be a slap in the face, didn't they? They considered this to be wrong by God, to have God do this for Joseph and not to do it for them. They didn't want Joseph to be blessed. They didn't want Joseph to prosper, right? So here we are with you've got to look at how God can provide. Oh, I'm going to have to move that fan. God can provide, and he will. Amen. God provides, gives provision. Then he does it quickly. He brings back that money, and he puts it right to you. Hallelujah. You know, I always like the fact that covenant that God's got with us, that as we are blessed, people see us. And that's part of what God's covenant is, that people see that we're God's kids because we're blessed. We're God's kids. We're anointed people. You know, you've heard people say many times about you, you're something different about you. You're just different. You're always happy. You're always this. You're always that, right? There's always something different about you compared to what's out in the world today. Amen? Let's look at Exodus 22. Exodus 22. Let's start in verse 1. We're talking about things that have been stolen now. It says that if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five. So if he steals it, slaughters it, or sells it, he must restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Wow, that's pretty heavy duty. That is heavy duty. I mean, you talk about out there that, you know, they say in China that when people steal, they chop their hands off. They're not allowed to steal no more. Why? Well, they don't have any hands. And if they try to run from the police, what happens? They chop their feet off. That's how they handle things. Well, you look at how God is here. If yeah, that's exactly what they do. So if the thief is found breaking in and he is struck down and he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be what? Sold for his theft. He'll be sold for, he'll become a slave. He'll become a slave until what? Basically, till he works it off, right? Well, how do you work off death? Or how do you work off that kind of, you know what I'm saying? That could be a forever gig there. Verse 4 says, if the thief is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore what? Double. He shall restore double. So whatever he's found with and what he has stolen, he will restore double. Amen? So let's look at that for a minute. Let's look at what the devil has stolen, because he's the thief. All right? Thieves come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. So more abundantly means double. Doesn't it? I mean, that sounds like double to me, more abundantly. So what, and you look at it now and you see the devil has stolen from you. What has he stolen? That now you shall receive double. Double. Houses, lands, fun, right? Remember that one? Okay. So he has stolen, he's got to repay double. Amen. I'll take double. Two's better than one. Right? I'll take, you know, hey, I got two bank accounts. I'll take two bank accounts. I got four now. That's great, right? I got a savings account. Now I got two savings accounts, right? I got 10,000. Now I got 20,000. I mean, you just kind of look at it like what he has stolen from us. If he has stolen that, then double shall be repaid. I'll take double. Amen. Double's good. We got so many other scriptures now, though, that tell us 30, 60, and 100 of what we have given. And now here's the key. If it's been stolen, you have one of two options. You can take double and make it be repaid, or you can give it away and take 30, 60, 100. I mean, I don't know. That's, oh, you had to say that, didn't you? You know, I mean, amen. I mean, it's up to you, but it's what's in your heart to do. See, you know, if you decide, okay, I'm going to Just give it away. Let it go. It's not going to bother me anymore. I'm not going to brood over it anymore. I'm going to let it go. And when you do that, it's just like forgiveness. When you forgive, you forget. So when you decide to let that debt go and give it away, you can't bring it up. You can't think about it. You can't say, man, I shouldn't have done that. Right? Because the devil will try to talk you. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. He just came into a bunch of money. He could have paid you. Right? I mean, as soon as you give it away, that dirty dog, you know. So you gotta watch the devil. He thinks he's slick. Yeah. Let's go to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. And let's look at verse 2. It says, and if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall do what? Restore it to him. So when your brother seeks it, now I look at this, and this is back then, but I try to put everything into perspective of what's going on today. If your brother seeks it, how many of you, now, and we don't know when you're on a corner and you see a homeless person, you know, please help, I'm homeless. We don't know if they're born again or not unless we what? Ask. Unless we what? Ask. Then if we find out, yes, I am born again. Well, how'd you get born again? See, that's the key. He could just be pulling your leg. He could just be telling you what you want to hear so that you give him what you want. Okay. So let's say, well, how'd you get born again? Oh, well, they sprinkled water on me when I was a kid. You're going to hell. Okay, that's not the one. That's not the one. But if he says, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I believed he's in my heart. He was rose from the dead. He's the Son of God. He's born again. So now your brother is doing what? Standing there, homeless, seeking what? Money. There's your chance. There's your chance. You can do what? You can give. You can give. Now, I give to my vets because if they're wearing a military anything, it's hard for me to just not give anyway. I don't care. You know, I'm not looking to get repaid on it. But what I do give, and they are born again, will be restored to me. Amen? And that's our God. That's how good our God is. Why? Because we're taking care of his own. We're being led by the Spirit to take care of God's own. When we see our brother in need, we do what? The word says, meet the need. You see your brother in need, you do what? You meet the need. Guess what? You know how many people just kind of skip right over that verse? They skip right over that verse. Oh, man. People have to be careful. Especially out here in this world today, you can't just stop and help somebody anymore. The people on the side of the road. And you used to be able to just stop, pick them up, take them to the gas station, get them gas, take them back. They wouldn't rob you. They wouldn't kill you. They wouldn't steal your car. You can't do that anymore today unless you're being led of God. Led by God, by the Spirit of God, and he says, stop. Pick this person up. When he does that, no matter what happens, I don't care if the guy pulls a gun, if he pulls the trigger, if God said, do it, you shall not die. Period. If it's God. Amen. Amen. But it must be God. It must be God led. He must be the one who says, stop, pick this person up. But you got to know it. And you got to know it in here. See, that's the thing. When people are detached from the Spirit of God, they're detached from his voice, they're not sure. And because they're uncertain, they keep on driving, don't they? They're uncertain, so they keep on driving. We've got to, oh, I want 2019 to be a year of hearing the voice of God, hearing him, feeling him, seeing him. I know you've all in this house seen the presence of God. You've all seen the God. You've all seen his glory in some way or another. Amen. We've sat in meetings and watched his presence move. From different places as a cloud now, not just people just acting funny all of a sudden, you didn't know what was going on. No, I'm talking about you saw the misting cloud of God moving. And as he did and began to touch people, then, you know, they started acting funny. But that's what we need. See, this is the kind of thing that we need here in 2019. We need God to be welcome in his house. We want God to show up in his house. We want the Holy Spirit to do God's will in his house. And we desire it. See, we need it. Right? We want it, you know. We're not here to be worried about what people are going to think. Oh boy, they're holy rollers. Absolutely. Just wait. You have no clue when we all get together one day. Stop, drop, and roll. It is going to be a time with God. But why we want God to do that here so that we can have people see his presence and be able to say, God is in that house. God is there. I want to go there. And I know I can see God. I know God will help me. And he will. And he will. But it's up to us to do what? To want it? To need him? We need his presence. And we can't, you got to get to that point where you can't live without his presence. You just can't live without it. I've got to have him. If he shows up, don't let go. You know how it is. Woman, you got to let me go. Let me go. Let me go. Get off my leg. Get off my leg. This is how we've got to be with our Lord. She didn't want to let go of Jesus. We can't let go of him either when he shows up. We want all of him, more of him. Okay, he gave us a dose. I want a double dose next week. Right? And then take me a triple dose. Yeah, as a matter of fact, just be here when we show up. And, of course, if he's here, we're not leaving. I mean, why would we go anywhere? This is what we want. This is who we are. Amen? This is how we live. We're going to skip over. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is a little tough with a handheld. Psalm 51. I really like starting in verse 10, but we're not gonna. But let's look at verse 12. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy. Man, if anybody in this place needs joy, it's you guys. Come on, amen. I need joy. Don't you need joy? Oh, absolutely. I need the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I need that joy, right? He will restore to me the joy of your salvation. Wow. Joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is fading. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness will come. Happiness will go. But joy is an eternal. It's eternal joy. And it will make you happy. Joy will make you happy. Amen. But that joy that is restored will not be stolen. It's restored now. Your joy will be full. Your joy will be full. Amen. I want my joy to be full. And then he said he would uphold me by your generous spirit. Our God is good. Our God is generous. Our God is merciful. He shall provide, right? He shall provide. Our God is our provision. He is our restoration. He will repair. He will rebuild. He will do whatever he has. If he has to alter, whatever he has to alter, including stopping the sun to get what you need, tell me God can't do it. If he has to alter the rain and it does not rain, then it doesn't rain. Amen. God will alter the seasons. God can alter the seasons. God can do anything for the one who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Look at Psalm 23, which we read last week. But let's look at it, Psalm 23. We'll just read verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. When chaos is going on all around you, you think about when you get a bad report from a doctor and your mind just starts to race. He'll restore. He'll restore you back to peace. He'll restore you back to faith. He'll restore you back to, wait a minute, I've got a God who can fix this. I'm no longer afraid. I'm not in chaos, calamity, and he cannot steal my health. God said he would restore my health, didn't he? So, but all that going on, he'll restore our soul. He'll restore our spirit, our mind, our body, materially, financially. Our God wants to restore anything and everything that has been stolen, lost. If it's been lost, it's been stolen. He wants it restored. He wants it restored. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at Leviticus 24. Leviticus. Praise God. Praise God. Leviticus 24, let's look at verse 21. It says, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy consecration, convocation, sorry, to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. That's not what I wanted. I'm in the wrong one. I'm in 23. Let's go to 24. That's what I said, 24, right? Let's do that. I was reading that. I'm like, what in the world? That doesn't sound right. All right, 24 and verse 21 says, and whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You see the power in the presence of God. You see how he created you. You see, what the devil steals a life, God wants, oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Yeah, he's going to take you out. But he'll if an animal is stolen, he'll restore it. Now, what is back then? I mean, you talk about the animals that were stolen. These animals were their what? It was their financial. It was their way of making a living. It was their livelihood. So when your livelihood has been stolen, God will restore. Now, my livelihood got stolen. They cut back our hours so that we couldn't get overtime, which is where I always make my money, as an OT. It has been restored. So now I can get OT. Right. I'm surprised they didn't just keep it going because it worked. Everybody who was getting 60, 70 hours a week was now down to 40. And you know, that time and a half is after 40. So we're getting 60 hours a week minimum in most cases. That's 20 hours of time and a half. They didn't want to pay that. So they did away with it, and it worked. Nobody got overtime up until the end of December. And you would have thought this company would have kept it going. Say, well, guess what? It worked. I guess they really must be dragging their feet when we can still get it done, right? Because that's the way I would look at it as management. If I looked at it and I said, we got it done, nothing has changed, why change it? Somebody's milking the clock, basically, is what I would think as a manager. I'd keep it going. But the Lord restored it so that we have that opportunity now to, if the work's there, we can do it. And what they were doing was, if the work was there, they would have a guy that had 39 hours, he would go home. And a guy who had 32 hours, he'd go to work. And they'd swip us and swap us and move us around and this, that, and the other, so that we'd come close to 40 but never getting over. And the work would still get done. And that's managing. That's managing. Let's look at Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah, don't do it. I didn't do it. You did it. I didn't do it. Yep, we did. Yes, we did. Jeremiah 30. I'm going to start in verse 16 just because I like this part. It says, therefore, all those who devour you shall be what? Devoured. All who devour you shall be devoured. And all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. God's not playing. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. And all who prey upon you, I will make prey. Who's going to make it? God is going to make them prey. If they prey on you, do you realize the elderly that are getting preyed on every day? And if they're born again, they got God in their heart, look out. Because some of these contractors, why do you think that they go out of business so quick? Why do you think they have to declare bankruptcy and then go cheat and steal somewhere else under another name? Because they've been made prey. This is a promise of God. If they prey on you, God will make them prey. Right? Verse 17. For I will what? Restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. He said, I will restore health to you. I will heal your wounds. And who said it? The Lord. Yes, God. Thus says the Lord. So there's a scripture that when our health has been stolen, he will restore it. Right? Amen. And I likened that to my eyes. Then I went and I got glasses, and God restored my sight where I can't even wear the glasses. Didn't know it happened. I wasn't paying attention, but I just all of a sudden was able to just keep reading and no problems. When before it was really hard. It was really struggling. I didn't even hardly turn these on today, you know. But anyway, he wants to restore our health. You know, I mean, people that have bad knees, we get older in our lives, right? I mean, I'm 50. My knees aren't what they used to be when I was 20. But God said he'll bring back to former, didn't he? He said he'll bring back the former thing, the normal, see? See, you can still be 50 and still feel like you're 20. Why not? Why not? They say the average life expectancy of a man now is 76. If you hit 76 and you make it to 77, they say you're on borrowed time. Now, this is the world. This is their stats. This is not God, all right? But that's what they say. They say that, well, if you make it to 76, you've lived a full life. You should be dead by now. That's how the world thinks. But see, our God, at age 76, wants us to be healthy. They say this. They say that when you get in your 70s, they say that you're as happy as you were in your 20s. Now, this is a statistic that the world has. I'm not kidding now. I'm not kidding. That if you're in your 70s, you are as happy as you were when you're in your 20s. Liars! No, I don't know. I'm not 70, so I don't know. But this is what the world says. This is the studies that they do. These studies that they do, they spend billions of dollars on to do these studies, right? And this is what they come up with. Listen, if I'm 70, I'd rather be 20. I don't want to feel like I'm 20. But yeah, I do if I'm 70. I'd like to feel like I'm 20. But this is how our God is. See, this is why our regional manager came in last Wednesday. And our regional manager and our bigger bigwig manager. Not the president, but it's getting there. But so our two managers came in, and the bigger manager is one that I've worked with many years. I've known him for 20-some years now in the industry. And I came walking around the corner, and we were getting ready to have this big meeting, this big powwow. And he saw me, and he got up out of his chair, and he walked right over. He says, man, do you ever age? And I said, well, you look like you did when you was 20. Because he still looks the same. And he does. He still looks the same. He's bald as ever. And, you know, but he shaves it. He shaves it. He's been shaving it all of his life. But he looks the same. But the thing about that, if you think about the anointing sustains us, doesn't it? We don't, in our age, at our time, because we don't walk around in sin of the flesh, we don't look our age. We don't. We just don't. Because that's the anointing of God. What it does, the anointing will rejuvenate us. It revives us, right? Our cells are constantly be rejuvenated. Yeah, we do feel like we're 20 sometimes, you know? We feel like we can conquer the world sometimes. But that's because of that very anointing. That very, it's the power of God that sustains us. It's that power, that anointing, that being anointed to the bone kind of thing, right? Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You know, where you just are so anointed. You're anointed from the inside, the out, the outside, the in. You're so anointed. And it shows. And it shows on you. Because we don't conform to this world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Right? We've got to stay away from the world. We can't be like them. We can't be like them. It's up to them to be like us. Isn't it? Isn't it? We're to be their example that they want to follow us. They want to. They want to be you. They want to be you. They want to follow after you. Because why? Well, because you're blessed. And because you still look good. And because you still get around. Right? I mean, there's 40-year-olds that are in wheelchairs. They can't move. Their joints are all beat up. They got disease. Yeah. They say now anything is an epidemic. Anything is a disease and anything is a plague. Any kind of thing that comes up, flu is plague. Flu is plague. The bubonic plague, H1N1, right? Killed, what, 51 million people, something like that? It's back, right? They say that's the worst form strain of the flu now that's out there today. Well, we're protected from that. We're protected from that. Not because we went and got a flu shot. Do you know how many times in all my life now that I've had a flu shot? You can't count them because I don't have a hand. I have never had a flu shot. I've never had one. I'm not going to have one. I know some people, I'm not going to say who they are, they get a flu shot every year and they get deathly ill 2 weeks after it. I mean, bedridden, deathly ill. Why? I don't know. They say that virus isn't in there. We don't put that in there. I don't know what it is. I really don't care. I'm not putting disease in my body. I'm just not going to do it. Why would I do that when Jesus took care of it for me? He put it in his body. And I'm free from it. See, he said he wants to restore my health. Right? Not make me sick to get better so my body can get stronger and overcome sickness again. No, I mean, that's just what a mean cycle. Isn't it? It's simply a mean cycle. You go make yourself sick so that your body gets stronger so that you can be sick again, but then you're better off because now you're stronger in that sickness. No. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't make sense to any believer. Shouldn't make any kind of sense. Our God will restore unto us that which has been stolen, that which has been lost. See, just because you lost it doesn't mean that our God won't restore it. Yeah, it's been stolen. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I want that restored. That's been stolen from me. The devil stole that. But when it's been lost, you feel like it's your fault. Yeah, but I lost it. God doesn't care. Doesn't matter if it was lost or stolen. God wants to restore it unto you. Now that's our God. That's the heart of our God. That's the heart of our Father. Can you imagine how many women out there today that have had a miscarriage and that child has been stolen can go to God and say, Lord, my child was stolen. You said you'd restore. And watch that young lady have a baby that's healthy, strong, and ready to go. Because God restores. How about a bad deal where a partner steals from you? And that happened to my dad a couple times. And partners, his friends, or people that he partnered with in business, stole from him. Lots of money. God has to restore that. He will. He'll restore that. Yeah, but he's in heaven now. Where two become one, here she is. And it can be restored unto her. And she'll put her faith out there for that restoration, and it will come to pass. We know that he'll be restored to us in form when we see him again. Not in earth in this day, but in a day to come. He'll be restored to us. And we'll be with our loved ones once again one day. Hallelujah. But while we're here in this earth, the earthly things need to be restored. Right? And it's up to us to use our faith to get it done. It's up to us to stand up to the faith. You're not going to go home and just leave your house wide open so that and everybody know that you have stereos and TV flat screens and computers and all this, and everybody knows this is in your house. You're not just going to leave your doors unlocked so that the devil can come in and steal it. So we got to protect ourselves. We've got to protect what God has given us, protect what we've been blessed with. Amen. We put our protection on it. We put the word of God on it. We protect our health by speaking health and healing scriptures over ourselves. We protect our finances by doing what? By speaking financial scriptures over us. Amen. We protect ourselves, right? And then we don't go do stupid stuff. We're not like the world. We're not like the world. We may be in it, but we are not of it. Amen. And we've got to keep ourselves from it. We got to keep ourselves from it. When I came back to the Lord, I got rid of all my friends. I got rid of all of them. And I asked every one of them. I said, look, this is what I'm doing. All the music's going bye-bye. All my ways are going bye-bye. I'm not going to be hanging around this, that, and the other if you're doing this anymore. Now, you can come with me and you can come to church and we're going this and this and this is how it's going to go. And only one person said, I will. And then, of course, that person went and off with the devil again. But yeah, only one person did for a few years. Too bad. Too bad. But guess what? I didn't give in. Didn't go back to my friends. Because guess what? God was more important to me. When I realized when he said to me, you either get to the church, you get back to me, he said, or you're going to die. He just restored my life to me. He gave you a chance. No. He restored my life to me again. See, I am the one. By whatever the means were, whether they're tricked by the devil or this, that, and the other, I don't care. Bottom line was I made the choices I made, right? And my life was being taken from me. It was literally just being bleeded out. I was a bleeding out of life and my salvation. And everything about Jesus was just leaving. And he restored that to me. Now, how he restored it was very demanding. You either get back to me or you will die. But when he did that, and I was in church that following Sunday, I saved my life. Saved my life. God will restore all that has been taken, all that has been stolen, and all that has been lost. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Hey, don't yell at the preacher. Now you did it. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, praise God. All right. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that this year of 2019, we shall be restored. All that has been lost, all that has been stolen. And let the thief steal no more. He cannot take from us any longer. I thank you that every individual believer here shall be restored physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that this ministry and everything that has been lost or stolen in this ministry shall be restored here in 2019 in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise and glory for it, Father. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah.